Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
Today's episode is an important one. We're talking about the proposed SEND reforms, what they are, what they could mean, and why so many families like ours are deeply concerned.
Yeah, this isn't about resisting change. The current system just isn't working. It's overstretched, it's underfunded, and that's so stressful for families and for schools too. But reform only works if it strengthens support and doesn't weaken rights. We submitted responses to the consultation as parents and we have some really serious concerns.
Yeah, we do. Last week I went along to a community meeting about the government's proposed reforms, which was held by our local MP. And I really appreciated the opportunity to share our thoughts and ideas. And what was interesting is that there were a lot of common themes among the concerns in the room. So I think it'd be a good idea to talk about those.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are the SEND reforms trying to do? The government says that it wants to make mainstream schools more inclusive, reduce the number of EHCPs, introduce clearer layers of support, bring in specialist provision packages, move more funding into mainstream schools, and reduce disputes and tribunal cases. So on paper, that sounds reasonable, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But how they actually achieve that is what matters. Because layered systems and standardised packages might look efficient, but children with SEND aren't standard, as we all know so well.
Yeah, absolutely. So under the proposals, the support would sit in layers. So you'd have universal, targeted, targeted plus, and specialist.
Which immediately raises questions. Who decides what layer your child sits in? What happens if one layer isn't working? How quickly can you escalate? And most importantly, what legal protections sit within each layer?
Yeah, because at the moment, if you have an EHCP, the provision in Section F is legally enforceable.
And that's huge.
Yeah. So I think before we go any further, we should talk about somebody that we follow who has so much good information, and his analysis of the reforms has really influenced our response, and that's Michael Charles.
Yeah, so Michael Charles is a solicitor of over 30 years' experience, specialising in education and human rights law. He's the chief executive of Sinclair's Law and has worked extensively with children and families in the SEND system for decades. If you're not already following him on Facebook, then you really should be. Because he's got so much experience. So he's seen the system evolve from statements through tribunal reforms to the Children and Families Act of 2014. So when someone with that depth of knowledge raises concerns, I think it's really important to listen.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not that he's anti-reform, is it?
No, his central point is actually really simple. The legal framework we already have is capable of working. The problem is that it's too often not followed in practice.
Yeah, that really struck me. That wasn't something I was aware of. So one of the biggest proposed changes is the specialist provision packages, SPPs.
Yeah, and this is where the alarm bells really ring for me. The idea that instead of specifying detailed individual provision in an EHCP, children will fall into predetermined packages based on their type of need. But I think we all know that children with SEND don't fit neatly into packages.
No, and that's why the system is currently as it is.
Yeah, I mean, our children, although they're autistic, they are very different.
Yeah.
And it's the same across the board. So yeah. Michael describes this risk as a shift from needs-led support to system-led support. So instead of asking, what does this child require, we risk asking, what package does this child qualify for? And that's such a fundamental shift in principle.
It really is. It's huge. Another proposal suggests that by 2035, EHCPs may only be for children with the most complex needs.
And I have so many questions about that. What are complex needs? Who defines what those are? Will it be consistent nationally? Or will there be different thresholds depending on local funding?
If complexity becomes tied to cost or crisis level, we create a system where children have to deteriorate before qualifying. That's definitely not the early support that we all want to see. That's actually delayed intervention.
Yeah, and a key concern raised by Michael and echoed by many parents is enforceability.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about that. Currently, as we said, if the provision is written into Section F of an EHCP, it must legally be delivered. Under these proposals, day-to-day detail may sit in an individual support plan instead. And from what we understand, ISPs may not carry the same legal force.
And that's not simplification, that's dilution. Legal protections cannot be replaced by reassurances.
Yeah, and if the government is so confident that the system will work, why would they remove these safeguards? They have to prove it works.
Yeah, exactly. Because if it works as promised, tribunals shouldn't be needed, but leaving protections in place offers security. Removing them raises questions.
Yeah, it's questions that we've all got. There's often a narrative that rising EHCP numbers means that parents are overusing the system.
Yeah, and again, going back to Michael, he strongly challenges this, and I agree. Tribunal success rates are high, but that doesn't suggest they're being misused. It suggests initial decisions are frequently wrong.
Yeah, this is something that came up at the community meeting quite strongly among the parents, and the MP did make note of it. But parents don't pursue these appeals for fun. They're really stressful. They do it because the provision isn't being delivered.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of us would love not to have to learn SEND law.
Yeah, we become advocates, case managers, and legal researchers because it's necessary. And I just don't see how those proposed reforms will reduce that burden.
Yeah, me too. And it also talks a lot about mental health. Much of what we call mental health crisis in SEND is actually unmet educational need.
Yeah, of course. Children become anxious when the environments are overwhelming them and they disengage when learning isn't accessible. They develop trauma when distress is treated as defiance. If mainstream support isn't properly resourced, layering it differently won't fix that.
So funding early support shouldn't come at the expense of statutory safeguards. We need both.
Yeah, for sure. I think basically there's an uncomfortable question at the heart of this. Is this honestly about improving outcomes or is this about controlling expenditure?
Yeah, absolutely. Because dismantling children's rights won't make anyone feel better supported. If you reduce access to enforceable plans and independent oversight, you reduce accountability. And without accountability, the trust erodes.
And let's be honest, the trust in SEND has been fragile for decades.
Yeah.
In terms of mainstream, I think we both believe in inclusion.
Oh yeah, definitely. But mainstream schools are already really stretched. Training is important. Inclusion bases may help some children.
Inclusion bases was, again, something that came up at the community meeting in that there are concerns with, is this going to be a place where naughty children are sent? What exactly are these inclusion bases going to look like?
Yeah, and also I wonder, are they going to vary across the country as well, you know, depending on funding? So will it be a tiny room in some schools? Will it be like a whole wing of another school?
Exactly. Something that I raised at the meeting was that's all very well, but there's going to be so many children who still won't be able to set foot in a mainstream setting. Say they make all these changes and they're all brilliant. It's still not going to mean that a number of children can even get through the gates, even get into that busy, noisy environment. It's just going to be the right place for them.
No, definitely.
And they talked about having more experts on hand, which does sound really positive in theory, but we already know that there aren't enough educational psychologists, therapists, specialist teachers as it is. These services can be really hard to access, but they're really hard to access right now to get seen by anyone. So where are all these experts going to come from to be in the schools?
Yeah, I know. I don't understand. Are they just going to somehow magically appear with all this knowledge? Excellent if they can, but not my experience. You have to wait weeks for these people to come into school and do their observations, and then weeks to follow up with meetings or paperwork. How is that going to change?
Yeah, I mean, one of my children had speech therapy before starting school. So I'm going back about 8 years, and I thought, brilliant, we finally got some help. But it was a block of six group sessions, and that was it. And my child was missing so many sounds, and it was basically to work on maybe one or two sounds. And I remember thinking at the time, but what happens after the six sessions? This isn't going to do anything. And that was the case then. It's no better now.
No. No, and I know they say they're putting so many billions in, but once you actually distribute that amongst the country, how much is actually going to each school?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think essentially what we're saying is that need must drive provision, not the other way around, not cost, not availability, not the system, how it's designed. It should be about need.
Yeah, absolutely. If reform strengthens accountability, strengthens delivery, and preserves enforceable rights, it could succeed. If it weakens those things, history may repeat itself.
Yeah. I mean, to be clear, the current system isn't working well. It's absolutely not fit for purpose, is it?
No, and structural change alone won't fix delivery failure. The provision still isn't delivered on the ground. Nothing changes for children.
Yeah, Michael made a point that I really agree with. We don't need a more elaborate system. We need the existing system to actually function as it was intended.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're a parent or carer like us and you're listening and you're feeling uneasy, well, we'll just assure you that you're not alone.
There are just too many unanswered questions right now and silly campaigns with Gemma Collins.
Yeah, they're doing nothing to show that they are taking the views of parents and carers across the country seriously. And it's getting laughable at this stage, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Until there's clear guidance on the definitions of complex needs, national consistency, enforceability of provision, tribunal powers, accountability mechanisms, it's reasonable that we're also concerned.
Yeah. This isn't about resisting reform. It's about ensuring reform makes the system stronger and not weaker. I know that they've said that children who are currently in specialist schools will remain there. But one thing on my mind is if they're not sending as many children to these specialist schools, if they're going to keep them in mainstream, what actually happens to those schools that our children are at? Are they going to survive? And then what happens to our children?
Yeah, I actually did raise that at the meeting because I said one of my children's at a really impressive specialist school. It wouldn't be right for my other child, which is, again, how we talk about individual needs, but it is a really amazing school that's doing such good work. Currently, a mainstream school could not replicate that, and that is serving so many pupils so well. What happens to these schools, which actually should be being used as a model?
Absolutely. I think mainstream schools should be more like specialist schools across the board, because I think the methods that they use with their children are much more beneficial for all children than the really outdated system that we currently have. The education system is so Victorian. That's what they should be focusing on changing, in my view.
No, I agree with you. I mean, right now, this is looking at the SEND system, but it's the whole schooling system that needs looking at. It's just not kept up with the times, and it feels more about control.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I don't like it.
No, me neither. We'll continue following along with the developments and sharing updates as we get them.
And we'll continue to say this, needs must drive provision always.
Always. Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast.
We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.